Welcome to the One Small Change. I am so thrilled that you are here today to learn from a new friend of mine, Rasha Radadya. I said it wrong, even though I practiced it.
It's made, yeah, no problem.
You can correct it. So the purpose of us spending time today is that we can all learn from each other. And sometimes we think we have to have these really big epiphanies. And sometimes just one small change can make a huge difference in both your life and your business. And my guests bring an incredible amount of experience, as well as the 30 years of entrepreneurial experience that I bring, and the passion that we bring about discovering growth through seemingly small changes. And each week, we're going to explore that. So today, I have a wonderful guest for you today, and you're going to be amazed and delighted to meet Rasha. Rasha, thank you so much for giving me this time to me and my audience.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me, Yvonne.
So, the purpose of the thing is, what was the one small change? First of all, tell people what you do.
All right. Well, I say that I'm a triple talent. I've been a cancer scientist over 25 years. I've been in the martial arts now for 40 years. I'm a grandmaster and in the Black Belt Hall of Fame, also starring in a movie and a comic book series. And I'm also a classically trained opera singer. So I'm the lead soloist for our church choir and for a community choir. And I just have a great time sharing music with the world, because I think when you sing, you let your spirit fly. And I did all this despite a really bad speech impediment growing up.
You are a Renaissance man. You are I'm amazed. I'm like, so many people think, I can only be good in one area. And yet,
oh, that's a myth.
Some things lead to other things, So
I would say purposely try to do something that's the exact opposite of you. Like, I know, like, there are bikers out there that love to knit. There are football players out there in the NFL. They try to make a rap album. That's okay. You're allowed to do that. And so there are different things that you can do. And honestly, by doing something that's really not in your comfort zone or what people may perceive as not something that you're supposed to do, that's even more fun, because then you get to surprise them.
Well, one of the things that I look at is, the totality. If you like exercise one muscle a lot and don't exercise other muscles, you're going to be off balance, And so that's the other reason to explore. You don't necessarily have to be an expert at it, but you have to know enough about it that it can help you build other things that you're doing. And so, you're not a boring person when you've got
more stories. And yes. You meet more people. You really do. And your life gets more fulfilled by trying out new and unique things. And it doesn't have to be like a one-off. If you find something that you really enjoy, that maybe people had not thought that it's something that you'd be good at. When I look back and I think, now when I get up on stage as a keynote speaker, they introduce me as from the city of brotherly love, a kickboxing opera singer, singing cancer scientist from Philadelphia, Rocky Balboa can't stand toe to toe with this guy, Raja Vaidya. And all of a sudden, it makes somebody do a double take, like, wait, what? How do those three things fit together? I'm like, I don't know. I'm the kickboxing cancer scientist, so nothing wrong with that. And if I go into the UFC and I fight in the octagon, and then later on they find out that I'm an opera singer and I've been making cancer vaccines and cancer cures for over 25 years, they'll be in shock, like, wow, this fighter can do those positive things too. Yeah, well, it's all positive. It all depends on your slant on it.
That is amazing. Do you ever sing to people while you're doing kickboxing and throw them off?
Actually, not during, but after. So what we do is every year my karate school holds an annual black belt award ceremony. And I'm always singing something there. I mean, in years past, I've sung "O Holy Night." Last season for our Christmas concert with the Amherst Station Singers, I sang Gesù Bambino. I've sung many different solo. They asked me to sing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. That was a big hit last year. Years before they tried banning it, myself and another woman, like, we would sing Baby It's Cold Outside, the duet, and we had a blast with that. So it's a lot of fun because it just shows people another side of you. And I always tell people that, look, even though, like, while I'm in training and we're kickboxing or we're doing jujitsu or Krav Maga or I'm teaching samurai sword, during those 45 minutes to 60 minutes, let's be on. Let's turn the switch on and have our best focus, our best effort. And then at the end of that time, relax, chill, enjoy your life. But understand, I think one of the most important things that people don't understand is that, life is not just a marathon. It's a series of sprints within that marathon.
Oh,
And you have to know when
absolutely.
to turn it on and when to recover. And that's something you learn along the way.
That's one of the things that I say. We just celebrated our 52nd year of marriage.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And one of the things that I say is it's not really been 52 years of the same marriage. It's been like 5 or 6 years, 5 or 6 marriages in that time,
Yep.
because we've
And
grown and changed and,
it changes.
fallen in love, fallen out of love, fixed it,
Oh,
made it
yeah.
That kind of thing. So I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what your one small changes that you're going to that had an incredible impact on you that you want to share today.
Oh, absolutely. And this story really starts about 6 or 7 years ago. As you know, I've been a cancer scientist for most of my life. I've been a martial artist even longer. But starting out as a young kid, because of my stutter, and I still have troubles with my L's, M's, W's, and sometimes my R's, so I can't say my name at times. So you'll hear me every once in a while get stuck. But guess what? It doesn't matter, right? Because I found a way for my content to be more valuable than the obstacles that are in my way. So during my life, I tried to specifically find things that would cover my speech issue. So I started singing so I didn't have to talk. And I got really good at singing. I became I qualified for district choir, then regionals, and I became first chair all state as a bass, which surprised my parents and started surprised everybody, surprised me too. I joined karate so I didn't have to talk. And then when I was 16 years old, I made it to the world championships and placed in two events. Then I made a 2-year plan to go to the Olympics. And then 3 months after my 18th birthday, at a national qualifier, I beat out 400 other black belts and I made the Olympic team. So because I was trying to hide something, and the story is still not starting yet. Third thing is I got into cancer research so I didn't have to talk. So I could hide in the lab, do data, and everybody else would present it. Problem was, over time, there was a pattern. Other people were using my data to present and getting promoted, and I was not. So the last time that happened was around 2017. I was in a long project with a partner of mine. She presented our data. Half the slides in that slide deck were my data. She left my name off the front slide and made it look like I hadn't done much of the work. And she put my name on the last page, thanking the team. And while the applause was raining in, I was furious. I was also in shock because I felt like I just got sucker punched. And she got a promotion out of it, and I did not. Again. Then that's when I decided my one small change was, I'm going to face this thing now head on. And that was the change that happened in my life. So 2017, I joined something called Toastmasters. Now, Toastmasters is, if you don't know what it is, it is a speaking and a leadership nonprofit organization. It is known worldwide. And because of that, I've now learned that there's a structure and a style to speaking. And a lot of the things that you'll hear me say and how I say things are very unique because I'm trying to cover some of my speech disfluencies. When I feel a block coming in, I may interject a pause or add a the or so to elide into that next word. And that helps me to continue my fluency. So as a disfluent speaker, which compromised about 10% of the US population, there's someone around you right now who lives in quiet frustration because they feel trapped in their own body because they can't speak what's in their mind. And I got sick and tired of that. And because of Toastmasters now, a couple years later now, it's been I've gotten certified as a level 5 international coach. Took me 4 years to achieve. And because of that, I launched my own online academy behind me, Victory Mindset Academy. And as I always say, make it a great day with VMA, because you don't have a great day, you make it a great day.
Well,
And
let me just stop you right there for just a second,
sure.
because I think that you've said something that's really amazing, and I want to make sure people hear it. And that is that you have to make a decision to stop hiding your imperfection. And I think one of the things, first of all, none of us is perfect. And so that's a myth that I think cripples all of us, you know. Well, I'm going to wait till I get it right or whatever. But I think the other thing is the idea that we're actually, it's causing us to hide. And I understand that because for me, the thing that makes me hide is the fact that I'm fat. And so I was like, when I lose weight, I will, you know, go and speak in front of people when I, you know. And so I think that we don't realize how, whether consciously or subconsciously, we are hiding. And I think people need, you know, because I don't think, I think people, the impact, it's like it's an excuse, but it's actually the hiding. And I think that's the piece that I find
Shame.
amazing. Yeah,
It's a
exactly.
shame. I was ashamed of myself up until a couple of years ago. It took me that long in my life. Now, this year I just turned 50. And what's funny is like my wife and I, like, we just had our 20th anniversary last year. And I'm thinking about, my gosh, all the different phases of, like you said, of our marriage, of our life, of our careers, how so many things change, and how sometimes you have to face that shame head on. And I wasn't doing that. I was still finding a way to hide. And for the most of the time, I had the same boss for the past 15 years. And once he retired, everything changed. And I felt like I was just not being valued. And I felt like I was being taken advantage of in big pharma. And I had enough, and things had to change. And once you decide to change, actually, I teach a program about the 5 steps to black belt confidence. And I'll give you a little cheat sheet here. The very first step is, as a white belt, you decide to change, DTC. And once you do that, everything else after you, it's like when the space shuttle launches and it gets in orbit around the Earth, it's traveling at 17,500 miles per hour. Per hour. 17,000. So some of you all have a car that can drive 100 miles, 150 miles. And if you're really lucky, you got a sports car that can drive maybe 200, but you only drive that on the weekends or at the track anyway, so it doesn't really count. I prefer daily drivers. And so, but that space shuttle, my gosh, over 17,000 miles an hour. And when it tries to return to Earth, it has to land somewhere where it's within a very specific tight spot. There's a specific location and an angle and a time and a place where it has to turn off the thrusters or angle down. And that, and we're talking about percentages of a degree, can make it either burn up in the atmosphere or skim off the surface of the atmosphere. And I'm a big space nut. I love sci-fi and everything, all the different sci-fi and fantasy novels. So for me, like, whenever we start talking about these kind of things, about the realities of what could happen if we have to do re-entry, is a space elevator actually possible? Can we actually colonize the moon? The moon, yes. Mars may take a while because it's 9 months away each way. So that's a bit of a trick for us to be able to survive long enough just to get there and back. That little pivot, when you make that pivot in your life, your entire trajectory changes.
I talk about that as being starting in the center of the spoke of a wheel, As the spokes go out, the benefit and the impact gets bigger. So you said the first thing is making a decision. I absolutely believe in that. And I think sometimes our decision, we don't make it big enough.
No.
You know, to propel you, you know, and so one of the things that I talk about is gap steps. Make a big decision and then have a gap step, that something smaller that you can actually achieve. So, you know, you're talking about change, which I think is like an amazing thing, because it takes you out of your comfort zone, because you're doing something different. And I often say to people that, you know, the feeling of fear and the feeling of excitement, you know, the hormones in your body are the same. Right.
Yeah.
So just changing, just calling it excitement instead of calling it fear, is a tiny change that changes the whole way that you look at it. So tell me a little bit more about what we should know about change, you know?
Certainly. Well, one of the things I had to learn to is to unbox my mindset and my own reality. And so because of that personal journey, I even wrote my own book. Here it is, Unbox Me Today. And when that comes out, y'all will hear about it. But I talk about the five pillars of success that I've gleaned over my own personal transformation. And those are health, wealth, mindset, faith, which is really belief systems, what do you believe in? And family, which is really communications. So as a result, all those five pillars together, they become a rising tide and they raise all the ships in your life. And that first step, deciding to change, is a powerful one. That next step, depending on the program that you're in within, maybe is that I talk about becoming the next version of you. You become the next version by stepping outside of yourself. If you're only doing things for yourself, your results will not be large enough. So one of my favorite like motivational speakers out there, Les Brown. And and what he says, and he had said this, and he got this from Aristotle, is that, you know, the problem with most people is not that they aim high and miss. The problem is that they aim low and they hit, because you get what you expect.
Yes.
And that's why, if you notice here, a little subliminal trick I do to myself, as I drink my water bottle, what do you see at the bottom? Aim higher.
I love this. I love this.
So it's just a little trick to myself to remind me that, you know what? I am aiming higher. And when I started thinking bigger outside of myself and unboxing my life, everything started changing even more. And because of that step, I never thought a year and a half ago, I launched my live stream show. I was just doing client trainings for my students here. Once a week, teaching them about funnel building and messaging and marketing, how to use Canva, how to use automations, and how to set up an email drip campaign, and how to launch a brand and make it in alignment with what you have. But I wasn't interviewing anybody. So then once I got into larger groups like Speakers Playhouse and a lot of the other networking groups that we've been a part of together, I realized, wait a second, there's all these people that need a voice. And I get the opportunity to share my stage with them. So then my goal then, I know people out there that are selling, you know, $10,000, $15,000 programs to get you on 100 stages in a year. That's only twice a week. Well, at the time I was in between jobs, I said, you know what? I got a lot of free time on my hands. I'm going to try to do 100 interviews in 6 months. And sadly, that didn't happen. I got 204 in 5 months. I crushed it. And then by 12 months, I hit 250 because I had started because I got my new job again. So I hit 250 in 12 months because I slowed down. I was no longer doing 10 shows a week. I was doing only five and three. Now I'm down to, now I'm working full-time still. I'm still doing two shows a week and loving it. And so now I'm up to 300 plus interviews. And and for full transparency, that means 300 interviews, half of them on my show and half on everybody else's podcasts and YouTube and everything else. Because my goal was to force myself to face doing live interviews, which I didn't want to do because I was afraid of getting stuck with my impediment. And so if I don't think people realize that people with speech disfluencies and speech handicaps, they're not protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Oh.
People with sight impairment, hearing impairment, and people who are mute are protected. But people who speak disfluently, people have who have a stutter of some kind or a lisp, they're not protected, which means those managers can continually ignore you and say, you know what? Yeah, that person's not management material. They can't talk right.
Right.
And that's what I felt. They'll be polite to your face and they'll dismiss you behind your back.
I did not know that. I did not know that at all. And I think, one of the things that's so unfair in life is that by human nature, because of your background and whatever, you make these instantaneous what's the word I want? Instantaneous judgments. Right.
Yep,
So
assumptions.
one of the biggest things that I've done recently, about 2 years ago, is I took a positivity, positive intelligence course,
Yep.
that and something else. And so now when I make one of those instantaneous, what I've always done is I say, well, I know that I'm prone to do this, so I give people three chances before I make a final decision. But
Yeah.
now what I say is, am I being curious or am I being judgmental?
Yeah.
And what was my part in this? As opposed to jumping into like, blah, 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 there, or that, and it's so easy. And I don't know what it is. I think we do not have a good way to be honest when we need to express something negative. I mean, the simple act of saying, I don't get what you're saying to me, but I'm interested. Can you tell me more? As
Yeah.
opposed to saying, that's not going to work. I mean, that has changed my relationships and stuff with people immensely. So I don't want us to run out of time. I know that you've got a freebie for us, and I want to make sure that people can, because you've got your fingers into everything.
Lately, I do.
So I want to make sure that people know that they should check out the notes afterwards, and see what other kind of help and stuff that you can have, because like I said to you, one of the things about making your learning last is you've got to have a way to apply it. And so I'm going to ask you for some practical steps, but before I do that, I want to make sure people are going to check the notes. What are you giving?
So I'm giving you the easy speech template. And what it is over the years, I didn't realize so much that the way that you speak is not all about your words. But if you can structure your words, if you can understand a framework for speaking, it's going to help you so much to become a confident and an easier speaker, because now you make it easier for the audience to understand what it is that you want. Because a lot of us just speak like a fire hose and you expect everybody to understand. It doesn't work that way. One of the things is I ask people, and especially for smart people like you, Yvonne, I've been there too. Smart people like to just tell you everything. And problem is people don't remember everything. You can tell them maybe three things. So the first step is that the rule of threes. Right. So I call that the brain three hack. Because if you tell them more than three things, maybe up to five if they're really connected. That's why if you notice, I have five pillars, but I really could sh shrink it down to three and kind of roll them into each other. But I like five because it kind of spaces them out. So now it creates different modules in my trainings. But take a look at that template I put in the chat. And what you can do is when you get that, you're going to see a bunch of empty lines. That means you get to come on to my Tuesday night speaker call, and we're going to work on that together. Or I have a link to join me as a where would it go here on a one-on-one, and we can work on that together. So that is my free training that I give to you.
That
And
is, I was going to just say, that is incredibly generous. And that also kind of is some practical things people can say, do. But I just want to go into the fact that even though you're saying speaker, it's really communication. I mean, we are on many stages all the time when we're speaking to someone that we just met. It's not necessarily about addressing many. You know, it's about community. And I remember one time I had somebody say to me, Yvonne, I love you, but when you come up with ideas, I feel like you've shot me in the face with a shotgun. You know, it's just like,
Yeah,
bang, you know,
it's too much.
it's too
Too
much.
much all at once. Well, it's the same idea, but like, how do you eat an elephant? One
Bite,
bite
bite, bite.
and
Exactly. Exactly. So,
gotta take a step back.
exactly. So I don't want us to run out of time. We only have a couple more minutes, and I want to make sure that, because your gifts are amazing. I really want to talk to you about that, but just if you've got any last steps, you know, that you want people to remember to think about, because I have one fun question to ask you after that.
Oh yes, definitely. Here's sort of my philosophy I've lived by over the years is that and I didn't realize this until I heard one of my speaker coaches at Toastmasters mention this, and this is sort of a two-parter. So her name is Carol, and she had said when I was giving my eighth or ninth speech at Toastmasters years ago, and she stood up, she was evaluating my speech, and she said, "Raja, you have a ton of props. And I don't think you even realize this, that but just you alone are enough. You are enough."
Okay, and what
And
was
no
the
one
second?
ever said that to me before. And it kind of shook me to my core. And I started realizing, uh-oh, I'm using all these props and slide decks and statistics to cover up again, rather than just presenting me. So what I've tried to do purposely in the few in as a result of that is use less props, use clean backgrounds, and just talk and be me, be authentic. And people relate to you much more when you are authentic. Now, by the way, on the fly as I'm speaking, I was about to say much b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b- I just wanted to tell you that that's me walking on a fence trying to keep me fluent, and I'm doing it on the fly. So there's two layers of thought happening at the same time.
Thank you for being so honest with us. All right, so let me give you the one last my fun question, which is when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Oh gosh, that's easy. That's definitely this year. And that is my daughter joined cheerleading for the first time. So I was a cheer dad, and of course my wife is a cheer mom. So we're taking her a couple times a week to cheerleading practices. She's having fun, she's making a whole bunch of new friends, and she's also getting more fit and flexible and everything. And I noticed that, like, a lot of the cheer dads, when we go to the competitions, the cheer dads look just kind of like sitting in the back, not really doing anything, just chit-chatting about sports or being bored, and complaining about like when they can go home, have a beer. And I said, you know what, we need to do something. So I stepped up and I talked to some of the dads. Hey, listen, why don't we surprise all the girls and show them that we love them by doing a doing a dad's cheer dance. So I coordinated one. And my gosh, I don't have a background of it, but if I have a
Not
picture
sure
of it,
that we're gonna,
maybe.
Raj. I definitely need to see this, but I don't think we're gonna have time
No,
for
we
other.
don't have time, but
But just the idea of that has been amazing. And so I just need to say to everybody, you need to definitely connect with this man because he is a Renaissance man. He has got so much information and such a generous heart that you're gonna want to get into his world and let him rise your boat up. So with that, we're gonna have to stop. But I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much. I want to say to everybody else, make sure that you join us for an upcoming episode of the One Small Change, because I think what I've learned is that change can be simple, but it's not always easy because it requires that you have a certain amount of courage and resilience and a willingness to step out of your comfort zone and to keep going. You know, the resilience is when you think you should quit, that's really when you're making the change and pushing through. So join me on the One Small Change where we're going to go on a journey of bold vision and innovative possibilities, and I will see you the next time. So until then, stay curious. Say something, say bye, Raj.
Hey, just go out there, be so good they can't ignore you. Bye-bye.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
Bye.
that's from Steve Martin. That's a Steve Martin quote, not me.
Oh, but it's still good,
It's still
regardless.
great.
Yes. Goodbye, everybody.
Take care, all. Bye.